over a year now, we are struggling with the pandemics. It's all amongst us. And it's in the most unrecognized rate than every each pandemics that have hit throughout the timeline of history. What is your point of view regarding this pandemics?
Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihi al-kareem, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. First of all, Bela, I am very happy to be in Albania, in this city, the beautiful city of Durrës. It's my first visit to Albania, and it looks as though I'm going to be coming back again. And I have a great surprise that there's so many in Albania who already know me and have been listening to my lectures on the internet. And certainly one of the most important subjects now being discussed is the virus and the vaccine. I have come to Albania to do two things. Number one, to teach the Quran. And number two, and I want to enter it into the record, I've come to this part of the world to make a humble effort to try to bring the two peoples closer together, the Muslims and the Orthodox Christians. And because this question of the virus is connected with the Quran, I'm very happy to respond. Medical science cannot tell us more about this subject than what medical science is capable of doing. There's more to the virus than can be studied by medical science. The Quran tells us that the Lord God, Allah Most High, has created this universe with truth, that everything in this universe has not only a material reality, but also a spiritual reality. And the trees and the stars make sijda, they prostrate before the Lord God. And so nature, which is embraced by truth, will never deliver a virus or a plague that will embrace all of mankind at the same time. This virus appears to have embraced the whole world at the same time, except a country called Albania. Because I find that Albania is living life normally. I don't find in the masjid when I go for prayer the people standing 3 feet apart, excuse me, like monkeys. I don't find people with face masks. There is no consciousness in Albania of any fear of a virus. None. People are living normal lives. But the rest of the world, there are so many parts of the world. Everywhere you go, you find the virus, you find social distancing, you find face mask, you find quarantine. And so I have come to the conclusion based on the Quran, and I don't have the time, of course, to go to all the verses of the Quran. I have come to the conclusion on which I am very firm, that this virus has not come from nature. This virus has not come from nature. And since it has not come from nature, it constitutes biological warfare. Since I recognize it to be biological warfare, the vaccine has to be suspect. And so I will not take the vaccine, and I don't recommend others to take the vaccine.
When was the first moment you thought this is not biological by nature, coming from nature? When was the first time you thought this was going to happen?
From the very first moment that the virus appeared, and we were told it was a lab in China. a place called Wuhan. From the very first moment, which was almost a year and a half, more than a year and a half ago, number one, I have never ever experienced any fear in my heart about the virus. Number two, from the very beginning, I suspected that this was another 9/11. That the same people who gave us 9/11 are now giving us the virus. And that they're doing this in order to be able to increase their control over all of mankind.
A lot of countries are ratifying, are coming to the point of, or are coming to the edge of making the vaccines obligatory. At the same time, violating the fundamental rights of all mankind. Are these actions legit or justifiable in accordance with the health issues? What is expected to happen to all humanity after this?
So long as the vaccine is not made mandatory, people should have the freedom, if they want to take the vaccine, by all means. This is our view, but others may differ with us. And so we hold the view that Islam, the religion, is not opposed to vaccination. No. But for this particular virus, since we are holding the view that it has not come from nature, rather it constitutes biological warfare, on this issue we suspect the vaccine. And so those who choose not to take the vaccine, their choice should be respected. Any government which enforces the vaccine, makes it mandatory, is a government which is oppressing people and denying them their fundamental right to freedom, human freedom. And I want to send a message from Albania that people have the right to resist mandatory vaccination. And when persecution begins and you're being forced against your will to take the vaccine, then people have the right to seek asylum in a place where they can have their freedom.
How do you think this can happen? How can they find this asylum you are referring to?
I've been informed, I don't want to mention the name of the countries, I've been informed that several countries are making the vaccine mandatory for particular sections of the society. If you're in the armed forces, if you don't take the vaccine, you could lose your job. This is oppression. And they are dancing to the tunes of those who gave us 9/11 and have now given us a virus. That was bogus. This is bogus in the sense it has not come from nature, it's come from a laboratory. But why is this taking place at this time? That's the question I'd like to answer. And because I am a scholar of Islamic eschatology, our Prophet has prophesied that in the end time there'll be a plague, an epidemic, a pandemic, which will wipe out the Arabs the way sheep die in a plague. And so I hold the view that this virus is going to lead us eventually, I don't know how long, to a very virulent virus emerging that's going to wipe out the Arabs in Israel and around Israel. And this will facilitate the establishment of a Pax Judaica, which will seek to replace Pax Americana.
Thank you. Scientifically speaking, People are skeptic on the vaccines, but don't you think the mRNA vaccines could lead us, or could be the next generation vaccines?
I said to you that we in Islam, we have no objection, religious objection, to vaccines. No. The medical evidence is not there to suggest that vaccines are dangerous. But this particular vaccine, we have great suspicion concerning it. So I cannot give an answer which is for a general answer on vaccine and include this one. There are many in the world today who hold the view that I hold, that there is a sinister agenda attached to this vaccine. What is that agenda? We don't know. It could be...
Who makes that agenda?
It could be that when you kick the first vaccine, you'll have to take a second and a third and a fourth and a fifth and a sixth. And eventually they'll come in a vaccine which will push something in your body which will allow you to be tracked. Wherever you go, they can track you. I don't want that in my body. So I'm not going to take any vaccine. And there are many, many who hold the same view. Now, in some countries, they're making mandatory for the children. The children cannot go to school unless they have the vaccine. That is monstrous oppression.
Were we prepared for this new wave of pandemic?
This virus came to us suddenly, and no one knew it was coming. But from the way it came, it was very plain and clear that it was pre-planned. There was an enormous amount of planning that took place before the vaccine was released into the world. Who are those who planned it? Who are those who are pursuing a particular agenda with this virus and vaccine? My answer is the same people who gave us 9/11 are the same people who have given us this virus.
I've listened to many of your interviews, and your discourse on the after-COVID world was that of a multinational economy, in a sense that the economy is going to be universalized. And my question is, how did you come to this conclusion, and what threat does it present? Is money the main reason for all this to happen?
Our Prophet Muhammad, Allah's blessings be upon him, prophesied, as only a prophet could prophesy, that there is slavery at the end of history. Yes, we had slavery in Egypt, we had slavery in Babylon, we had slavery in modern Western civilization, enslaving the African people and so on. But he was talking about a slavery at the end of history. And that slavery is one in which he said that a slave woman would give birth to her mistress. We identify that slavery with economic slavery. And we identify the economic slavery with riba. Riba is a transaction which does not qualify as a just transaction. The Americans call it a ripoff. We find that economic injustice in the monetary system that has come from the Western world, and we don't have the time today to explain that monetary system of paper money and plastic money and electronic money and cryptocurrencies and so on. But we also find it in the banking system. And if you read John Perkins' book on economic hitmen, you'll find John Perkins has done a good job in explaining how the banking system is working. Their plan is to impoverish the masses, to reduce you to destitution and eventually enslavement, economic enslavement. What our prophet has said is, if you have a plague, he gave only one order. He says, if you're in the area in which the plague is taking place, don't leave. And if you're outside, don't enter. This is quarantine. So we agree with quarantine. But he never said, Prophet Muhammad, Allah's blessings be upon him, never said that economic activity must be curtailed, that the market must be shut down, that people must be stopped from working and earning their livelihood. And governments have deprived people of their rights to earn their livelihood during this pandemic by shutting down the economy. When you shut down the economy, what do? The people who are rich, they survive. But the poor don't survive. Businesses collapse. People are reduced now to destitution. Around the world, this has been taking place. So definitely, there is one part of the agenda of this virus to bring such economic change as will make the world better for the rich and worse for the poor.
Do you have an advice to all of us?
For that Albania matter? Is a wonderful country. I don't know whether the Albanians know that. You have so many mountains in this country. If you are on the breadline, if you're earning the income of a slave, meaning your salary is not sufficient for you to be able to maintain yourself and your family, then get out of the cities. This is my advice for you, from someone who has come to teach the Quran. Get out of the cities and head for the mountains and find land where land is cheap, and take with you sheep and goats, cattle, and produce your own milk and meat and produce food crops, and make yourself self-sufficient in food. But you must go to a place where there is water. If you do that, you will save yourself from becoming a slave.
Many questions have risen after America and NATO withdrew its troops from Afghanistan. How is this decision going to affect the place? I mean, Afghanistan and all the politics over the world, and also the great powers, are they losing their authority or are they just enforcing it?
I have just arrived from Pakistan. I spent a long time in Islamabad. I went to Peshawar, which is just close to Afghanistan. And the last lecture I delivered in Pakistan before flying out on August the 15th. While I was lecturing in Islamabad, I call it the Yankee government in Kabul was collapsing while I was speaking. And the implications of that sudden collapse of the Kabul government, the Yankee government in Kabul, are enormous. When the Americans engaged the Islamic resistance in Pakistan, I don't call them Taliban, the Islamic resistance, people who have the right to resist occupation. You have the right to fight, to throw out an occupying force. And the United States was an occupying force in Afghanistan. So these people had waged a just war. And I will not tolerate anyone who defies this view that this was a just war to throw the United States out of Afghanistan. You had no right to be there in the first place. The implications, first of all, of the collapse of the government in Kabul after the United States has spent 20 years and billions of dollars in building an Afghan army of some 300,000 strong, equipped with state-of-the-art weapons and with all the things that money could buy. And this army collapsed within a matter of 2 weeks, indicates that the army was not convinced. It did not have the morale to fight. This was a paid army of mercenaries, people who were there only for the money. And they were not prepared to fight their own people to defend the government in Kabul. So 20 years of brainwashing by the United States resulted in nothing. This is demonstrative that that part of the world in which Afghanistan is located, on this side you have the west of Pakistan, on that side you have Iran, and to the north you have the other states around it. That this part of the world, you cannot brainwash them. Not with a smartphone, not with television, not with your New York Times. They cannot be brainwashed. That is an amazing implication of the sudden collapse of the Afghan army of 300,000 men in a matter of 2 weeks. The other implication is that modern Western civilization has suffered a humiliating defeat in Afghanistan, and most of all, the United States of America. The evidence is now mounting that Pax Americana is in irreversible decline. I am a scholar of international relations, apart from eschatology. And when I use the term Pax Americana, I refer to the United States seeking to rule the world, to be the world's policeman. And why is it that for 200 years the United States has been intervening willy-nilly in all Central and South American countries, changing governments with gunboat diplomacy? And then suddenly, Venezuela, and they've been stopped in their tracks. They cannot intervene militarily in Venezuela. They're being embarrassed. Hugo Chavez held out for as long as he was alive. And Maduro is still holding on, and they cannot intervene. This is an indication that the power that the United States has is now being checked. Crimea. And Crimea was so important to the West that they fought a war from 1852 to 1855 with the help of the Ottoman Empire to ensure that they had control over Crimea. And look at what happened. That in a matter of 2 weeks, they lost Crimea. And they've not been able to recover it. This is an indication, this is an unmistakable sign that the power of the West is declining, and in particular the United States and Pax Americana. And then we turn to Syria, where the CIA and the Mossad and Saudi Arabia and Qatar and of course Turkey, all combined to create ISIS, to create this jihadist movement to bring about regime change in Syria. And they wreaked havoc on Syria. Millions had to flee the country as refugees. So many were killed. There was barbarism in this so-called Islamic Jihad. But look at what happened. Russia intervened, whether you like Russia or you don't. The fact is that Russia intervened and stopped them. and their jihad has been defeated. And as a Muslim, I say thank Allah. Whether you like it or you don't, I thank Allah that Russia intervened. Russia took a great chance. Russia could have faced nuclear war. It was a great risk, but they took the risk. And as a result, Syria has been saved from becoming another Libya. And now look at Afghanistan. 20 years of effort on the part of the whole of the West. It was not just the United States that were there in Afghanistan. Britain was there, Germany was there, France was there, Turkey was there. All these years, the combined military effort of all of the West. And look at what happened after 20 years. So the implication of the collapse of what of that army in Afghanistan and the U.S. retreat from Afghanistan, the first implication is that it provides evidence of irreversible decline of the modern West and of NATO, and that's bad news for the Great War which is coming. Our Prophet prophesied the Great War. The Christians called it Armageddon. The Muslims called it the Melhama. And it's coming. And the events that are now unfolding confirm what I have been able to locate in the Quran, that the West will be defeated in that Great War.
Thank you. What is your opinion over the clergy attitude? I'm not speaking particular religion, I'm speaking in all. How do you find their reaction to the latest worldwide politics and pandemics for that matter?
I don't know enough of how the religious scholars of Islam are responding to the pandemic and how the religious scholars of Christianity are responding to the pandemic. I only know my own view. But for Afghanistan, I believe that there is we are on the same wavelength. My scholarship and the scholarship of the Orthodox Christian world. We are on the same wavelength, that history is moving in a direction of a rapprochement, reconciliation, and eventual friendship and alliance between these two people. The world of Islam that follows Nabi Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, who have their Qibla in Mecca, while others have their Qibla in Washington. And the Orthodox Christian world, which follows Jesus, while the rest follow Santa Claus. The Orthodox Christian scholars with whom I am in contact, I don't know what are their views on the pandemic, but I do know that the Orthodox Christian world of scholarship is drawing closer to the Quran and drawing closer to Prophet Muhammad, Allah's blessing be upon him. But that does not mean that they have to join the community of Muslims. You can still remain a Christian. Let me repeat it. That the Christian can accept the Quran as the word of God, accept Muhammad, Allah's blessings be upon him, as a prophet, and yet remain a Christian. Let me repeat it one more time. And that is what is happening now. And I'm here in the Balkans, and I hope to return, if Allah so wills, to try to further this reconciliation, rapprochement, friendship and alliance between our two peoples.
Well, you mentioned earlier that this is your first time in Albania, and you said it was a beautiful country. Can we say the same thing about our national politics? How do you find that?
I don't know enough about your national politics, but I've asked to get me a good book on Albanian history, that is credible history, so that I can read it. So by the time I come back, if you want to interview me, I yes. hope I'll be able to answer your question, yes.
And the last one, do you think the pandemics have an end, and if so, when is this going to happen?
Is there going to be
an end? Is there going to be a nearest end to the pandemic? When do you think that will be to happen?
I don't think that this pandemic is going to end anytime soon. I am convinced that it's going to be with us for another 2-3 years, perhaps. At the end of which, I will not be surprised, and you will not be surprised, and the people of Albania who are listening to this interview will not be surprised, when the prophecy of Prophet Muhammad, Allah's blessing be upon him, is fulfilled, that ominous prophecy, that the Arabs are going to be wiped out by plague, the way sheep die in a plague. So we expect that the Arabs resident in Israel and around Israel are going to be targeted by the most virulent virus that can be produced in a laboratory. And that may take another few years.
Thank you very much.
You're most welcome.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you.